June 20th. Our reading today in the Old Testament will be from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 22, verses 1 through 53. It talks about fighting your own battles. Jehoshaphat had no reason to meddle in Ahab's wars. He made the mistake of marrying Ahab's daughter, so there were family obligations to fulfill. Another lesson to learn is deliver your own message. False prophets usually agree in their messages of success and glory. The messenger tried to get Micaiah to imitate them, but Micaiah gave the true message of the Lord. Another lesson we'll learn is to know your own enemy. Ahab cleverly tried to make Jehoshaphat a decoy and get him killed, but God overruled and Ahab was slain instead. And another lesson is that we will learn from our own mistakes. When the new king of Israel, Jehoshaphat's brother-in-law, asked for a new alliance, well, Jehoshaphat refused. He had learned his lesson the hard way, but at least he had learned it and profited from his mistakes. He was a great and godly man, a good king, and we must not allow one event to discredit his service for the Lord. And with that, let's begin today's reading in the Old Testament. June 20th, 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 1 through 53. For 3 years, there was no war between Aram and Israel. Then during the third year, King Jehoshaphat of Judah went to visit King Ahab of Israel. During the visit, Ahab said to his officials, "Do you realize that the Arameans are still occupying our city of Ramoth-Gilead, and we haven't done a thing about it?" Then he turned to Jehoshaphat and asked, "Will you join me in fighting against Ramoth-Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat replied to King Ahab, "Why, of course. You and I are brothers, and my troops are yours to command. Even my horses are at your service." Then Jehoshaphat added, "But first, let's find out what the Lord says." So King Ahab summoned his prophets, about 400 of them, and asked them, "Should I go to war against Ramoth-Gilead or not?" They all replied, "Go right ahead. The Lord will give you a glorious victory." But Jehoshaphat asked, "Isn't there a prophet of the Lord around too? I would like to ask him the same question." King Ahab replied, "There is still one prophet of the Lord, but I hate him. He never prophesies anything but bad news for me. His name is Micaiah, son of Imlah." "You shouldn't talk like that," Jehoshaphat said. "Let's hear what he has to say." So the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, "Quick, go and get Micaiah, son of Imlah." King Ahab of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah, dressed in their royal robes, were sitting on thrones at the threshing floor near the gate of Samaria. All of Ahab's prophets were prophesying there in front of them. One of them, Zedekiah, son of Kenahanah, made some iron horns and proclaimed, "This is what the Lord says. With these horns, you will gore the Arameans to death." All the other prophets agreed. "Yes," they said, "go up to Ramoth-Gilead and be victorious, for the Lord will give you victory." Meanwhile, the messenger who went to get Micaiah said to him, "Look, all the prophets are promising victory for the king. Be sure that you agree with them and promise success." But Micaiah replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, I will say only what the Lord tells me to say." When Micaiah arrived before the king, Ahab asked him, "Micaiah, should we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead or not?" And Micaiah replied, "Go right ahead. The Lord will give the king a glorious victory." But the king replied sharply, "How many times must I demand that you speak only the truth when you speak for the Lord?" So Micaiah told him, "In a vision, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, 'Their master has been killed. Send them home in peace.'" "Didn't I tell you?" the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat. "He does it every time. He never prophesies anything but bad news for me." Then Micaiah continued, "Listen to what the Lord says. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, with all the armies of heaven around him, on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who can entice Ahab to go into battle against Ramoth-Gilead so that he can be killed there? There were many suggestions, until finally a spirit approached the Lord and said, I can do it. How will you do this? The Lord asked. And the spirit replied, I will go out and inspire all Ahab's prophets to speak lies. You will succeed, said the Lord. Go ahead and do it. So you see, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of your prophets, for the Lord has determined disaster for you. Then Zedekiah, son of Kenaanah, walked up to Micaiah and slapped him across the face. When did the spirit of the Lord leave me to speak to you? He demanded. And Micaiah replied, You will find out soon enough when you find yourself hiding in some secret room. King Ahab of Israel then ordered, Arrest Micaiah and take him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to my son Joash. Give them this order from the king. Put this man in prison and feed him nothing but bread and water until I return safely from the battle. But Micaiah replied, If you return safely, the Lord has not spoken through me. Then he added to those standing around, Take note of what I have said. So the king of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah led their armies against Ramoth-Gilead. Now King Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, As we go into battle, I will disguise myself so no one will recognize me, but you wear your royal robes. So Ahab disguised himself, and they went into battle. Now the king of Aram had issued these orders to his 32 charioteers, Attack only the king of Israel. So when the Aramean charioteers saw Jehoshaphat in his royal robes, they went after him. There is the king of Israel, they shouted. But when Jehoshaphat cried out, the charioteers realized he was not the king of Israel, and they stopped chasing him. An Aramean soldier, however, randomly shot an arrow at the Israelite troops, and the arrow hit the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. Get me out of here, Ahab groaned to the driver of his chariot. I have been badly wounded. The battle raged all that day, and Ahab was propped up in his chariot facing the Arameans. The blood from his wound ran down to the floor of his chariot, and as evening arrived, he died. Just as the sun was setting, the cry ran through his troops. It's all over. Return home. So the king died, and his body was taken to Samaria and buried there. Then his chariot was washed beside the pool of Samaria, where the prostitutes bathed, and dogs came and licked the king's blood, just as the Lord had promised. The rest of the events in Ahab's reign, and the story of the ivory palace and the cities he built, are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. When Ahab died, he was buried among his ancestors. Then his son Ahaziah became the next king. Jehoshaphat, son of Azza, began to rule over Judah in the fourth year of King Ahab's reign in Israel. He was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 25 years. His mother was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi. Jehoshaphat was a good king, following the example of his father Azza. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. During his reign, however, he failed to remove all the pagan shrines, and the people still offered sacrifices and burned incense there. Jehoshaphat also made peace with the king of Israel. The rest of the events in Jehoshaphat's reign, the extent of his power, and the wars he waged are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. He banished from the land the rest of the shrine prostitutes who still continued their practices from the days of his father Azza. There was no king in Edom at that time, only a deputy. Jehoshaphat also built a fleet of trading ships to sail to Ophir for gold. But the ships never set sail, for they were wrecked at Ezion-Geber. At that time, Ahaziah, son of Ahab, proposed to Jehoshaphat, "Let my men sail an expedition with your men." But Jehoshaphat refused the offer. When Jehoshaphat died, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. Then his son Jehoram became the next king. Ahaziah, son of Ahab, began to rule over Israel in the 17th year of King Jehoshaphat's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 2 years. But he did what was evil in the Lord's sight, following the example of his father and mother, and the example of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who had led Israel into the sin of idolatry. He served Baal and worshipped him, arousing the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, just as his father had done. June 20th. And now we turn our attention to the New Testament. Today's reading will be from the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 16 through 41. Opportunities come to people busy serving the Lord. God calls people who take time to worship and minister to the Lord. Opportunities usually produce some opposition. Here's another example of the parable of the tares. God sowed the good seed, Paul and Barnabas, and Satan sowed a counterfeit. Opportunities reveal character. Paul and Barnabas kept going, but John Mark returned home. We do not know why, nor should we pass judgment. Barnabas reclaimed John Mark later on, and Paul eventually accepted him. And opportunities develop leadership. The trip began with Barnabas and Saul, but it became Paul and his party. Barnabas rejoiced to see Paul being used so mightily of God. It was a team effort, and the vital thing was the glory of God. And with that, let's begin today's reading in the New Testament. June 20th, Acts chapter 13, verses 16 through 41. So Paul stood, lifted his hand to quiet them, those in the synagogue, and started speaking. "People of Israel," he said, "and you devout Gentiles who fear the God of Israel, listen to me. The God of this nation of Israel chose our ancestors and made them prosper in Egypt. Then he powerfully led them out of their slavery. He put up with them through 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness. Then he destroyed seven nations in Canaan and gave their land to Israel as an inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After that, judges ruled until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people begged for a king, and God gave them Saul, son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, who reigned for 40 years. But God removed him from the kingship and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, 'David, son of Jesse, is a man after my own heart, for he will do everything I want him to.' And it is one of King David's descendants, Jesus, who is God's promised Savior of Israel. But before he came, John the Baptist preached the need for everyone in Israel to turn from sin and turn to God and be baptized. As John was finishing his ministry, he asked, 'Do you think I am the Messiah?' 'No, but he is coming soon, and I am not even worthy to be his slave.' 'Brothers, you sons of Abraham, and also all of you devout Gentiles who fear the God of Israel, this salvation is for us.' The people in Jerusalem and their leaders fulfilled prophecy by condemning Jesus to death. They didn't recognize him or realize that he is the one the prophets had written about, though they hear the prophets' words read every Sabbath. They found no just cause to execute him, but they asked Pilate to have him killed anyway. When they had fulfilled all the prophecies concerning his death, they took him down from the cross and placed him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and he appeared over a period of many days to those who had gone with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. These are his witnesses to the people of Israel. And now Barnabas and I are here to bring you this good news. God's promise to our ancestors has come true in our time, in that God raised Jesus. This is what the second psalm is talking about when it says concerning Jesus, You are my son. Today I have become your father. For God had promised to raise him from the dead, never again to die. This is stated in the scriptures that says, I will give you the sacred blessings I promised to David. Another psalm explains more fully, saying, You will not allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. Now this is not a reference to David, for after David had served his generation according to the will of God, he died and was buried, and his body decayed. No, it was a reference to someone else, someone whom God raised, whose body did not decay. Brothers, listen. In this man Jesus there is forgiveness for your sins. Everyone who believes in him is freed from all guilt and declared right with God, something the Jewish law could never do. Be careful. Don't let the prophet's words apply to you, for they said, Look, you mockers, be amazed and die. For I'm doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe, even if someone told you about it. Today we're reading in Psalm 138, verses 1 through 8. Walking in the midst of trouble did not hinder the psalmist's worship. If anything, it helped him to pray and to praise the Lord even more. David could not go to the temple, so he worshiped toward the temple, and God helped him. His troubles did not hinder his witness. Trouble can be God's way to open doors for you to share the gospel. His troubles did not hinder his walk. God revived David and enabled him to defeat his foes. Best of all, God perfected his plan for David and made him a better man. Now you may think that your troubles give you an excuse to stop living for the Lord. Beware. This psalm says that just the opposite is true. Psalm 138, verses 1 through 8, a psalm of David. I give you thanks, O Lord, with all my heart. I will sing your praises before the gods. I bow before your holy temple as I worship. I will give thanks to your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness, because your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. When I pray, you answer me. You encourage me by giving me the strength I need. Every king in all the earth will give you thanks, O Lord, for all of them will hear your words. Yes, they will sing about the Lord's ways, for the glory of the Lord is very great. Though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble, but he keeps his distance from the proud. Though I am surrounded by troubles, you will preserve me against the anger of my enemies. You will clench your fist against my angry enemies. Your power will save me. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. Proverbs 17, verses 17 and 18. A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. It is poor judgment to co-sign a friend's note, to become responsible for a neighbor's debts.